The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. The Gemara in Masecht Shabbos, Perek Rabbi Kiva, Daf Peches Seif Amad Beis. Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, B'shah she'olam meishel amorum, Amru malachi ashoris livnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Moshe Rabbeinu went to be makabel the Torah, the malachim, the angel, said to Hashem, Ribbono shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Mali Yilud Isha Beinenu, what is a mere mortal coming between us? So the Almighty says, he has come to receive the Torah. Tishamei eis v'shivim shivim ve'arba doris kodim shenivra olam atom evakesh likna labos v'dom. Your most precious jewel, which has been concealed since it was created 974 generations before the world was created, and now you're coming to give it to a boss of a dom, to an earthly person of flesh and blood. Rashi explains what's the cheshbon, what's the calculation of 974 generations before the world was created. Excuse me. Because in Tehillim it states, Dovet Siva Le'elef Dor. Tilim Kuf Hei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would give the Torah to the 1,000th generation. And he gave it to the 26th generation. Because Avraham Avinu was the 20th generation, and then Moshe Rabbeinu, his generation, was six generations afterwards. So this leaves 974 generations, of which the Torah preceded. At any rate, we see that this was called Chemda Genuza, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's jewel, which was concealed for all of this time. The Gemara brings, and the Peches Omer Aleph, Omer Chizkiah, Ma'adik Siv Mishamayim Mishmato Din, Eretz Yoro Vishokoto. In Tehillim Ein Vov, it states, Mishamayim Mishmato Din, from heavens there came out law, justice. With this refers to the Torah. Eretz Yoro, the earth trembled with fear, Bishokoto, and then it calmed itself and relaxed. What does this mean? In Yoro, if the earth trembled with fear, Lama Shokoto, so what calmed it? In Shokoto Lama Yoro, if it was calm, why was it trembling? Ela betchile Yoro, ul besef Shokto. Beloma Yoro, kidereish Lokish, Domareish Lokish. First it trembled, and then it became calm. Why? Because it states, Vayi erev vayvoke yom hashishi. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu culminated the creation of the world, he said, let there be night and day on the sixth day. And he emphasized the sixth day. Hey Yisera. And that emphasis is superfluous. What does it stand for? Lomalei. Melame chihisna HaKadosh Baruch Hu imase breishis v'omalehem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he finished the 6 days of work, the 6 days of creation, he said, I have finished now this sixth day. I'm referring that this sixth day and another sixth day shall be bound together. The other sixth day will be Vav Sivan, the sixth day of Sivan, on which the Torah was given, which is Archag HaShavuos. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu made a condition. He made one conditional on the other. Hisna Kodesh Baruch Hu Yemaaseh Bereishis V'Amalehem. All of my works, you the world, you exist on a conditional basis. Im Yisrael Mekablim HaTorah, Atem Yiskayomi. If on the sixth day of Sivan, Klal Yisrael will receive the Torah and accept it, they'll want it, then you, the culmination of the 6 days of malocha of work, will be lasting. Bimla, but if not, ani machzer eschem letohu babohu, I will return the world to an abyss of darkness and voidness and void like it was to begin with. So here we see that the entire creation dependent on the Torah coming into the world by a Klal Yisrael. In Parshas Yisrael, Yisrael Yutes, this is what we, the Kriyas HaTorah that we read on Shavuos, B'chodesh HaShlishi Letzeis B'nei Yisrael Me'aretz Mitzrayim. It was in the third month of the going out of the children of Israel from Egypt, Bayem Hazeh Bo Midbar Sinai, and that day they came to the desert of Sinai. And Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Ohor, and they camped next to the mountain. And Moshe went up to Hashem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu called to him, and he said, this is what you shall tell Klal Yisrael. Kosomar Levesh Yaakov V'saged Livnei Yisrael. He says, you have seen what I have done to Egypt, Ba'ato. And now, Im Shemoa Tishmu Bekoli, if you will listen to my voice, what I say, what I command, Ushmartem Es Brisi, and you will guard my mitzvahs, then Vishem Liskula Mikolo Amim, then you will be my jewel, my chosen jewel from all of the nations of the world. Kili Kolo Oretz, and I can do that because the entire world is mine. And you will be a kingdom of princes. Kahanim here means princess. Begoy kodosh and a sanctified nation. Ela hadvorim asher tedaber al bnei Yisrael. This is what you shall tell bnei Yisrael. This is what Hashem told Moshe. And the Torah continues. Moshe went. Vayanu kol ha'om yachdu, vayomru kol asher diber Hashem naaseh. They said, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, we will do. Later they said, naaseh v'nishma, we will do. Now, from all of this, what do we see? Firstly, we see the greatness of the Torah. That it was concealed for 974 generations before creation, until the 26th generation, Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael, and then it was given. And we see that the entire world relies on it. So we see the greatness of the Torah. We also see the greatness of Klal Yisrael and its exclusivity. Mika Amcha Yisrael, Goy Echot Boretz, who is like your nation Israel, a singular nation in the world. They were the ones who went to be Mekabel Torah. And this is what we say, Bochar Bono Mikol Amim, Kodesh Baruch Hu chose us from all of the nations. Benosan Lono, as Torah says, and he gave us his Torah. This we see very clearly from the Torah, these two principles. However, There's something that we can ask here. It is true that Yisrael has the exclusivity when it comes to Torah. In fact, you can almost call it a monopoly. But from the other aspect, we see the concept of Gerush. Mekablin Gerim Mina Umesh. That we are commanded that if someone comes from the nations of the world and he wants to become a Yisrael, join the ranks, he can become so. We have to accept him. Incidentally, the yeshiva now is learning a sugya of gerus, of conversion, in Masechet Ksubos. And not only do we have to accept him, but by no means is he a second-class citizen. He becomes one of us. At the end of Parshas Emor, it states, Mishpat Echod Yelochem. There should be one law. Kager Ko Ezrach Yeh. There should not be two standards. One law for the born Jew and the Jew that has come to convert. And more so, the Torah commanded us, Be'aptimus Ager. You have to love the Ger. And not only that, but Rav Lezer HaGodol in Masechet Bava Metzia and Perek Hazov, Daf Nun Tes Seif Amud Beis, says Hizkiru Torah. The Torah has commanded us and instructed us, cautioned us, Bilamed Vav Mekemes, in 36 places in the Torah, Bi'amrela Mem Vav Mekemes. Some say 46 places in the Torah. When it comes to the Ainoa and the Lachatz of the Ger, to be careful not to hurt the Ger with words or to oppress him. And we have many, many mitzvahs, essays, and leisa says, positive and negative commandments when it comes to this. So we see by no means is there a double standard? Kochem keger. By no means are they second class. What happened to the monopoly? What happened to the exclusiveness of Israel? In general, the Maralmi Prague in Gvuras Hashem Perek Mem Beis asks a kasha question, that this whole concept of Gerus is something which cannot be understood superficially, because we do not find this by any other nation in the world. When it comes to races, if you're born a Mitzri, you cannot become an Edomi. If you were born into the nation of Egypt, you're an Egyptian. You can't become a member of the nation of Edom. Edomi cannot become a Mitzri. If you were born a Kanami, you cannot become a member of Moav. Yes, we have political nationalities. I'm not referring to political nationalities. That's just a right to live in the land. You can have a right to live in Eretz Yisrael, and it doesn't make you necessarily a Jew. We're talking where you become a member, not politically, but a racial member of that nation. He says it's impossible for a person to change his nationhood from that respect. Yet we find it by Israel. This is an exception. This is a unique and individual exception. And then we can ask further. We have Gerim that come to Israel, not only from good nations, but from some of the worst nations in the world. Nations which are full of Rishoyim, Te'evos and Tumais, abominations, impurities. Yet they become a ger gomer, a ger tzedek, a righteous ger. And we'll elaborate in a minute on this. And then further, our history is full of gerim that come to Israel, and not only do they become gerei tzedek, righteous gerim, but they become gedalim, great individuals. Great individuals that can compare with the greatest of Israel. And we could push this even a step further. We've even had gerim that came into Israel that were able to do more for Israel than Israel themselves. They were able to contribute to Klal Yisrael levels, madregas, and milas that Yisrael themselves were not able to. We'll make mention of some of this. I must thank my Talmud Aaron Ziegler, who helped me with some of the technical research on this. Now firstly, we know of Yisro. Yisro is the first ger who's explicitly mentioned in the Torah, Achar Matan Torah, after the giving of the Torah. Yisro was contrary to everything that Klal Yisrael stood for. It states that he was Eved Kol Aved Zorah Sheba'olam. He went, he was not only an idolater, he was the idolater. He tasted from all of the idolatry of the world. At one time, he was in the Chabura, the Chevreshaft of Pare, who was Rosh. He came from a nation, Midian. This nation, Midian, even though it had a good start, there's a Nitzutzis of Kedusha there, because they were from the Bnei Keturah. They were from the children of Keturah, which was Avraham's wife after Sarah died. But they became an arch enemy to Israel. From there came Bilam Arosho. And they used Bilam, and they used their daughters to try to drive Israel out of the world. To the point where HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed clear annihilation of them. And he commanded us, Nikom Nikmas Midjon, go and take revenge against Midjon, where we annihilated the entire nation, all men, and took all the women and children as slaves. So this was Midjon. Comes an individual from there, Yisro. Decides he wants to join up with Israel. He's accepted as a ger. But what does he do? He is given a name, Yeser. This was not his real name. Why was he called Yeser? So now our sages tell us, Sheyiter Pasha Achas Betorah. Because he added to the Torah. Not only did he add to the Torah, he added a whole section to the Torah. What section did he add? So the Torah tells us that when he came and he joined ranks, besides the fact that he was Moshe Rabbeinu's father-in-law, Moshe's wife was his daughter, and he, besides the fact that he saved Moshe's life, because Moshe was looking for refuge. But he told Moshe, and this is in Parshas Yisrael, Moshe Yudches, Vayomechos en Moshe, prosecute Zion, Elov. The father-in-law of Moshe said to him, Leiteva dover asher atose. What you're doing and you're judging all of the people by yourself, and you're afraid to deputize anyone. Moshe would not deputize anyone. because he felt no one could do the job as well as he could. He says, you're going to try to judge the people yourself and do everything yourself. Novel tibel, you will burn yourself out. Gamato gamoma ze ashri moch. Ki choveid mimcha adover leisucha lasu levad echo. Ato shema bekeli I otzko vihi elekim yimoch. Listen to what I say. I will give you some good advice. And then you can ask Hashem if he agrees to it. You will be on top, and you will teach all of the chukim atoras, and so forth. And you will choose and deputize many, many people to work under you. People who fear God, men of truth, that hate gain. Our entire court structure, with the lower courts, the medium courts, and the higher courts, and the Sanhedrin Agdola, this is all by Yisro. The Kodesh Baruch Hu agreed. And therefore he was given a name, Yeser. Al Sheyiter Pasha Achas B'Torah, he went and he added to the Torah. Now Zekasha, evidently Moshe certainly thought of this idea, but he disagreed with it. But Yisro was right. Yisro saw what Moshe could not see. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu agreed with him. So here was a person who came from such a background. He saved Moshe's life. And he adds to the Torah that even the Rabban Shel Yisrael had difficulty understanding or perceiving it. A second, and the Chazal tell us, Bnei Bonov, Yeshvei, Bilishkes Agosis. Ultimately, his descendants became members of the Sanhedrin. A second instance, the daughter of Pare. She became a Geyores before the giving of the Torah. She joined the ranks, and then she went to Matan Torah. She went to the receiving of the Torah with Klal Yisrael. Now, she came from the ultimate of Tumah, of impurity. Mitzrayim was from the worst of all of the lands, our Chazal tell us. And Paray, we know what he was. We know what he did to Klal Yisrael. This was Paray's daughter. But already, the sages tell us that she was rebelling against the idolatries of her father, and she was rebelling against the harsh decrees of her father that he was making against the Hebrews. What did she do? She saved Moshe Rabbeinu. And she took him in as a son. She risked her life doing this because she could have easily been executed. Even her maidservants told her that you for sure have to keep the decree of your fathers, of your father, to kill all of the children. She gave the name to Moshe. Moshe was not born with that name. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose that name whenever he would speak with him, if it was at the prophecy of the burning bush or the prophecy of Har Sinai, all through the desert, he would call Moshe, Moshe, even though this was the name this Egyptian woman gave her, because she saved him. In the end, in Divrei Hayomim, Aleph, Perek Tzadik, Posuk Yud Ches, either Perek Tzadik or Perek Dalet Yud Ches, it states, Ve'ele b'nei bisha bas paray, asher lo kach moret. She converted. She became a Yisraelis. Her name became Bisha. And she married Moret, who the Chazal tell us was Kolei ben Yefuneh. Kolei was from the tribe of Yehuda, the tribe of kings. He was called Moret because he was Moret Batzes Amaraglim. He rebelled against the council of the spies. So here's someone coming from a background of the household of Pare, where she saved the entire Torah, because Moshe was the only one that was capable of bringing down the Torah. And through saving the entire Torah, she had saved Kol Yisrael. And by doing this, she saved the entire world. This was the daughter of Pare. Go to another one. It was Rochav. Rochav, we find that after the 40 years in the Midbar and Klal Yisrael came and they crossed the Yarden, the Jordan River, and they were camped by Yericho, Jericho. And there they came to confront the Zion, the seven vicious nations that were occupying Eretz Yisrael, Canaan. And they sent scouts to see what's going on. The scouts went, and they went to the household of Rochav Azona, Rochav, who was a merchant. And there they spent the evening. Rochav did. Yeah. There they spent the evening. And there she did two things for them. Firstly, she saved their lives, because the soldiers found out they were there and they were coming to get them. She helped them escape. But secondly, she bolstered the much needed morale of Klal Yisrael, because they were coming out of the desert and they were coming into this land against seven nations, 31 kings. So she said like this. This is in Yeshua Bey's Pasuk Test. V'tome al anoshim. Yudati ki nosan Hashem lochem es ha'oretz. She says, tell your people not to worry. I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you the land. V'chi nofla emaschem aleinu. And your fear has fallen upon us. V'chi namogu kol yeshvi oretz mipneichem. And everyone has melted before you. We have heard how Hashem dried up the Red Sea when you went out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings on the other side of the Jordan, the Sihon and Og. And our hearts have melted, and there is no spirit left in any man. Ki Hashem Elokeichem Hu Elokim Bashomayim Mimal Vaoretz Mitochas. Hashem, your God, He is the God in heavens above and in the earth beneath. In other words, he said that we are a broken people. Now, to strengthen the morale of soldiers, of anyone, is very, very important. Extremely important. In high school, our athletics, our coach used to tell us it was not the best team that won. It was the team with the most spirit that won. And that's very, very true when it comes to soldiers. So she helped Klal Yisrael conquer the land. Now, she decided after they conquered Yericho, and she made a deal with them that they must save her and her family, so they saved them. She decided she wanted to become part of Israel. She didn't have such a very good background, because she was one of the most beautiful women of creation, and this became a liability to her. She became a professional harlot for 40 years. During the 40 years that Klal Yisrael were in the desert, because I'll tell us from about the age of 10. But to all of the kings of the land and the greatest nobility of the land. But she wanted to convert. She converted. So here she's coming, and she's from the Zion Umas, it would seem. Tesis goes into it, but it would seem that she's from the Zion Umas. These were the seven worst nations in the world. Because I'll tell us they're worse than Egyptians. She can't come from a very worse background than that. What happened? Sal tell us in the end, in the end, she married no less of a person than Yeshua himself, the king of Israel. This is Gemara in Masechta Megillah, Daf Yudal Amud Beis. And not only that, but it states, Ches Nevim Behem Kahanim Yotzu Meirocha Vazena. Eight prophets who were all Kahanim. She was not, but she married someone that was a Kohen later. Or some of her descendants married someone that was a Kohen. Came from Rochav. Ve'eluhain. And these are they. Nirya, Baruch, Soroya, Machseya, Yirmiya, Chilkiya, who was a Kohen Godel, Chanme'el, Vishalum. Reb Yudah Eimer, Af Chulda Neviya. Reb Yudah adds, even Chulda was a descendant of hers. Now she ends up marrying Yeshua, the king of Israel. And she has descendants, even one prophet, eight prophets, included Yirmiyahu. And all of them kulam kahanim, and a prophetess. But then there's a medrash that tells us even further, that Yecheskel ben Buzi also came from her. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Rochav. Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Rochav, At Amrat, you said, the Hashem, Hu Hashem Bo'oretz B'Shamayim. When we read that Pasuk, you said that God was the God of the earth and the heavens. So Hashem said, I'd like to know, Bo'oretz Nicho, the earth, you're an expert over. B'Shamayim, Mashal Ora Be'inayich, who made you an expert over the heavens? Have you seen what's going on in the heavens? But because you said that, Chayech shebeneich omeid v'reyesh shelei ro anavim, I will give you a son that will see what's going on in the heavens, and he will see more than any prophet has ever seen before. And that was Yecheskel ben Buzi. And in Yecheskel Perek Aleph, Posuk Aleph, and we read this on Shavuos, this is the Haftarah, the first day, states, Vahi Mishleishim Shona B'Revi B'Chamisha L'Chodesh V'Ani B'Seicha Gola Al Nahor Kevor. Chesko says, I was in the Gola on the river of Kevor. Niftechu HaShomayim, the heavens opened up. V'Ere Me'arais Hashem, and I could see the vision of Hashem. This was the Cheskel ben Buzi who saw them. And here we see that Rochav added eight prophets. Each prophet is a madrega chadosha, is a new level, because ein shnei nevim misnabdim misignon echod. There are no two prophecies that are exactly the same. Everyone has a different level and perspective. And kulam hayatzriches ledoros. These were prophets that were needed for the generations to come. And in addition, and a prophetess also, and in addition, Yecheskel ben Buzi, Shero Mashalei Rohu Anavim, that saw what all of the other Navim were not able to see. And where did she come from? She came from the seven cursed nations, and with the background that she had. A further example, Rus. Rus came from the nation of Moab. She was the daughter of the king of Melech Eglon. Eglon, the king of Moab, who was a descendant from Balak, Melech Moab. Balak. This nation originally came from the union that Lot had with his eldest daughter, the Bechira. And even though they were closely related to Bnei Yisrael, Lot was a nephew of Avraham Avinu, and also the entire existence of this nation is due to Avraham Avinu, because it was Avraham that saved Lot from the Ma'apecha Sodom va'Amora, the Churban of Sodom, not only did they not come out to meet them and offer them provisions in the desert when Israel were coming through their land, but they came to meet them with the sword. And further, they went and they hired Bilam Arosha, Lekalaleko, to curse them and to destroy them. Now, this was an enormous, righteous evil in view of the fact of the debt that they owed to Abraham and to Israel. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed on them, Al Dvar Asher Lahigdim Eschem Belechem U'Bemayim, because you did this, Ad Dor Asiri Lo Yove Bekal Hashem, you will never be able to marry into the central community of Israel. This was the background, the origin of Rus. This decree didn't affect Rus, however, personally, because it was only on the males and not the females. Ultimately, what happened with Rus? She married Boaz. He was the Shefet, the judge, the Godel Hador, the leader of the generation. Ephrosim, he had come from the illustrious Shevet Yehuda, tribe of Yehuda, where it was destined that kings would come from. And from them, Rus and Boaz ultimately came David HaMelech, David our king, Shlema HaMelech, King Solomon our king, and all of the seed of the house of David, which is Malchus, Ad Bias HaMashiach, until the Melech HaMashiach, which will be the Melech over the entire world. Shai Melech Lo Yikas Amim. All of the nations of the world will come to pay tribute to him. He will be the recognized king of the entire world. Will be her descendant. She contributed Malchus, kingship from David, all the way to Melech HaMashiach, which Israel themselves were not able to do. We go further. Unkelus Agir. We all know there was Targum Unkelus. Who was Unkelus? Unkelus actually is a Greek name, or a Roman name. Who was he? It is stated that he was Bar Achte de Titus. He was the son of the sister of Titus, nephew of Titus. Who was Titus Arosha? Titus Arosha was from the greatest Rishoyim that ever lived. That's the reputation he enjoys. He was a descendant of Esav, of Edom, of Rome. He was the Caesar, the case of the Caesar of Rome, which burnt our Beis Hamikdash, the Bais Sheni, and sent us into the Golus, which we are now. Well, this was his sister's son. He went and he became a ger. So he's coming from not too of illustrious background. What did he do? He wrote the Targum. The entire Targum that we have on the Chumash. What was so great about writing the Targum? It's just a translation. It's a translation into Aramaic. No, Chazal tell us not like that. It's not just a translation into Aramaic. This is what our sages say, and it's brought in a number of places. One place is in Rashi and Tesvis in Kedushin, Daf Memtes, Seif Omer Aleph. Now, it states the Targum was Nitin Misinai. When Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah, he received the Targum with it. It was given from Sinai. So if it was given from Sinai, so what did he do? It was Nishtaku. It was forgotten. Klal Yisrael lost it. They were not up to it. And it became lost. And Unkelus is the one that brought it back. He sat down. He was given Ruach HaKodesh. And he brought the entire Targum back word by word. So here he was able to see and to do and to see what was concealed from all of Israel. This was Unkelus Ager. go to another one. There was Shemaya v'Abtaljon. Beginning of Masechta Ovis, we have the Anshei Knesset Agod Gdola, and Shimon HaTzadik, Mishiyori Anshei Knesset Agdola, and we have another one or two notches, and then we come to the five Zugais, the five pairs. Now they were the ones, this is the chain of the Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu to us. Moshe Kibul Torah Misinai. From HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe, straight down to the generations. Zuhi HaMaseiris, this is how the tradition, the learning, everything that we received went. So there were five pairs that were integrally involved. One of these pairs was Shemaya v'Abtaljon. They were great people, because just to be part of that early Masoros, you had to be, but who were there Talmidim? Shammai v'Hillel. Shammai v'Hillel kiblu mehem. The greatest Tanoim of the Mishnah are Shammai v'Hillel. And they were students of Shammai v'Abtaljon. And this is where they learned Torah from. Who were Shammai v'Abtaljon? They were either Gerim themselves or B'nai Gerim. It's a machlekes. The Rambam says they were Gerim themselves. The Maral says they were B'nai Gerim. They were descendants of Gerim. And in a Medrash, in Tehillim, the beginning of Medrash Tehillim, it states, where did they come from? Everybody agrees they came from out. They were Gerim. Where? From where, though? B'mnei bonav shel Sisro. Lom d'teir b'rabim ke'anshei k'neses agdola. They were descendants of Sisro. We'll speak a little more about Sisro in a minute. But from Sisro, they went to teach Torah to the entire population of Klal Yisrael, like the Anshei Knesset Agdola. Then we have Rabbi Kiva. Rambam brings in his Agdoma to Yad Chazoka, Yosef Aviv Ger Tzadikoyo. Rabbi Kiva was Akiva ben Yosef. His father's name was Yosef. Who was Yosef? The Rambam brings, he was a Ger. There's a Rabbeinu Nisim, one of the Gaonim, where he writes that according to his Girsa, in Masechta Sanhedrin, Dav Tzarek Vov Amud Beis, and others write that also, according to their Girsa, he also, Rabbi Kiva, also his father, was a descendant from Sisro, Bimnei Bonov of Sisro, and some say perhaps even the union of Sisro and Yoel. Now, who was Sisro? In Shoftim, Perek Dalet, there we have that there was a very wicked king, Yovin Melekanan. And he was causing Klal Yisrael a lot of tzoros. They were from the Zayin Umeis Ha'arurim. And Devorah, the Shofetes, she went and she summoned Barak ben Avinoam to go to war against them, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you go now to war, I will give them over to you. So this is the whole story. Actually, Barak was afraid to go himself. He says, only if you go with me, he told Devorah. And Devorah says, if I go with you, then it will not be your victory, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make the victory come through another woman. And that was Yoel. So what happened was, is Sisro was the Sar Tzavo of Yovin Melech Kanan. He was the chief, commander-in-chief of the armies of Yovin, the king. And he had to flee, and then he fled to the tent of Yoel, and Yoel killed him. Now, it comes out that the Shemaya Vavtalion and the Rebbe Kiva possibly come from Sisra. So, again, from the source of Tumah and wickedness. And a possibility even from Yoel. But then you'd have to say that Yoel was not a Yisraelis. Otherwise it wouldn't be Gerim. And this is discussed. Because coincidentally, it's interesting that she was from Hever Akeni. She was from the descendants of Yisro. At any rate, this is where Rebbe Kiva comes from. Now, who was Rebbe Kiva? He's coming Merochek, he's coming from far away. He was the Iker foundation, he was the main foundation of our entire Torah Shabbateh, of our entire oral law. He saw even what Moshe Rabbeinu didn't see. The Gemara Menachos tells us. When Moshe Rabbeinu came up to heaven, and he wanted to know, what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing? He's tying crowns onto the letters. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that's not for you, that'll be for someone else, who will darshan every word and even every stroke of the pen of the letters of the Sefer Torah. And that was Akiva ben Yosef. And he was the one who brought up 24,000 Talmidim that filled up the world with Torah. And after they died, during these days, he went and he taught 5 more Talmidim. The Medrash, it says 7. And Haim Hamidu Torah B'Yisrael. They filled up the world with Torah. And one of his Talmidim was Reb Shimon ben Yochai and his son Reb Lezer, who brought out the most concealed secrets of the Torah to the world. The Chochmas Anista from the Zeh HaKadosh. And the Mishnah says at the end of Masech Tesota that Mishameis Rebbe Kiva, when Rebbe Kiva died, bottle covered our Torah. The stature of Torah dropped in the world. It was irreplaceable. He was a Ger. He came from Gerim. Ben Ger. From Sisro yet. We have, we'll mention one more. Niron Keser. The Gemara tells us in Gittin, Daf Nun Vav Amar Aleph. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when the Romans laid siege to Yerushalayim and they wanted to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, Shodo Alayol the Niron Kesar. They sent Niron, that's who in English is Nero, they sent Niron the Caesar. Kikoosi Shodo Gira Lemizrach of Nosab Yerushalayim Lemarav. He shot arrows to find out what he should do, and each arrow dropped to Yerushalayim. Then he met a young boy, and he said, tell me, what did you learn in Cheder? So the young boy said, V'nasates nikmosi be'edom b'yad ami Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that Edom, this was the Roman nation, I will revenge what they have done against my nation, and I will destroy them. So Niron he was very clever. He says, I see that God wants to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, and he's looking for someone to take the blame for it. And he wants me to take the blame for it. He says, nothing doing. Orak, he ran away. Ve'ozel. Actually, historians write that the Roman historians write that it's a big puzzle as to what happened to Nero. States he ran away, Vagaya, and he became a Ger. What became of him? Nafak mine Remeir. Remeir came from him. Who was Remeir? Remeir was a Talmud of Rebbe Kiva. And from the greatest Talmudim of Rebbe Kiva. The fact is, it states that when Rabbi Kiva started again in the Gemara in Yavama Samach Beis Beis, when Rabbi Kiva started to rebuild Torah, and he took five Talmidim, the first one mentioned is Rameah. Like he was the Reisha Chabura. And from these five came Torah back to the world. And the Gemara says, the Talmud says, Tam Masni, Tam Mishnah Rameah. We have so many Mishnahs that the Rameah taught so much. He came from Gerit. So these are some of the examples which seems to be very wondrous, that we have so many come from all types of backgrounds, even the worst backgrounds, they became Megaya. And not only did they become good Gerim, they became great Gerim. And not only become great Gerim, they became as great as the great Yisraelim. And not only that, but they contributed to Klal Yisrael and to Torah what even Klal Yisrael wasn't able to do in many cases. This is seemingly a puzzle, especially when we talk about that Yisrael is the Gamcha Yisrael Gayecha Moritz. Yisrael is the nation that Torah belongs to. They have the monopoly on Torah. The Maral explains a few important principles. And this follows. What is caused by birth? This means if a person gets something through birth, then that can be gained by others also only through birth. This is what is known as Yerusha. That inheritance is dependent on birth. And therefore, to be a Mitzri, you have to be born a Mitzri. To be a Kanani, you have to be born a Kanani. To be a member of Edom, you have to be born an Edom. It's the birth which decides what nation you are, and therefore it can be passed on only through birth. So therefore an Egyptian cannot become a Kanani, and a Kanani cannot become an Egyptian. He has to be born into it. And this we find also in Israel. For example, Kedushas Kahuna and Kedushas Levi and Kedushas Kahuna. If you're from the Shevet of Levi, there's only one way you can be Esh Levi, to be born into the tribe. There's no way in the world that if you're not from the tribe of Levi, that you're going to be a Levi or have Kedushas Levi, the sanctity of Levi. If you want to be a Kohen, Kohuna was given to by birth. It was given to Aaron Vizare. There's only one way in the world you can become a Kohen, and that's to be born to the seed of Aaron. You can be whatever you want, but you will not become a Kohen unless you're born into Kohuna. The same thing Malchus. The Malchus was given to David Vizare. This means it was through Yerusha, through the birth line, through a lineage. There's only one way you can qualify as a king, and that's if you're born into the house of David. If you're not born into the house of David, you will never be a full qualified king of Israel. And this is the same thing with the Yichus of the Shvatim. As it states in our parsha this week, Lebeis Abosam. You want to be a member of the Shevet Naphtali, the Beis Avosam. Your father has to be from Naphtali. Otherwise all the money in the world, or all the Torah in the world, will not make you a member of the tribe of Naphtali. You want to be a member of the tribe of Yosef, or Ephraim, or Manasseh, the Beis Avosam. We look at who your biological father was. If he was from their tribe, yes. If not, you could be a king, you can be the god Lador, you can be everything. You will not become a member of the tribe of Yosef, the Leves Avos, because it goes in the lineage of birthrights. Because of that, a Kohen cannot shed his kahuna and become a regular Levi. And someone who's a Levi and is not from the family of Aaron cannot become a Kohen. Someone who's not from the house of David cannot become qualified for kingship, or vice versa. This is true by Israel, and this is true by a Nochri that's Megayer, by a stranger that comes to be Megayer. If he wants to become a Kohen, there's no way. He has to be born into the Kuna. Just like a Yisrael cannot become a Kohen because he has to be born into the Kuna. If he wants to become a Melech, a king, there's no way. He has to be born into the house of David. Just like another Yisrael would have to be born into the house of David. If he wants to become a member of the tribe of Naphtali or Yosef, there's no way. He has to be born into it. His descendants could, because if he has a daughter, and his daughter marries someone from the tribe of Yosef, then their son will be from the tribe of Yosef. Or if he has a daughter, a granddaughter, a descendant, then she will marry a Levi or a Kohen, then their son will become a Kohen. But that will be through birth again. But otherwise, lahachlif, to change, to switch from one to the other. Since these are dependent on birth, there's only one way you can gain it, through birth. Not through money, not through Torah, not through yichus, no way. And he says that's the same reason why a Mitzri cannot become a Kanani. You become a Kanani because you were born a Kanani. You can't buy yourself into the tribe of Kanan, into the nation of Canaan. This is clear. But another principle, which is not so clear to people, and that is Kedushas Kohuna, Kedushas Malchus, all of that goes along the lines of lineage, of birth. Kedushas Yisrael, the sanctity of Israel, did not originate through birth. The proof of that was, is because the seed of Abraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov were born into that family. Yet they did not have Kedushas Yisrael yet, the sanctity of Israel. They were not obligated in mitzvahs. They did not keep mitzvahs. They did not have Torah. Sages tell us that the Oves were Mekayim Asar Torah Kedem Shenitno. The forefathers fulfilled the Torah before it was given. But that was the forefathers. And that wasn't incumbent upon them. And they didn't have Kedushas Yisrael yet. In Mitzrayim, in Egypt, there you had hundreds of thousands of Jews. What do we mean Jews? Beis Yaakov, the house of Yaakov. What is the house of Yaakov? The descendants of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Yet they were not Israel yet. They didn't have the sanctity of Israel. Torah was not commanded to them. They did not fulfill the Torah. Now here they had all of the birthright of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Yet the sanctity of Israel they didn't have yet. When did they get the sanctity of Israel? When did they become obligated in Tayag Mitzvahs? On Har Sinai, on Shavuos, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the Torah, and they accepted it. Then they became Israel. What do we see from there? Kedushas Israel, the sanctity of Israel, did not originate by birth. It was originated through the Kedushas HaTorah, through the sanctity of the Torah. When it comes to Malchus, to kingship, that's a birthright. House of David. When it comes to Kohuna's a birthright, it's the house of Aaron. But the sanctity of Israel was not a birthright. Otherwise, merely being born into the house of Yaakov, the house of Jacob, they would have been Israel, and they were not yet. They only became Israel later when Torah was given to them. Sanctity of Israel is not birthright, but was bitla tole v'koy, but was contingent on the giving and acceptance of the Torah. Now, incidentally, it's interesting to know that the sages refer to this as our geirus, our conversion. That when we received the Torah, we went through a geirus, a conversion, because we had changed our essence and our nationhood. We were no longer merely the seed of Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. We were no longer merely the house of Jacob. But now we became Yisrael. Mamleches kahanim v'goy kodosh. Skula mikol ha'amim. And it's also interesting to note that the Seder HaGerus, the process of conversion forever, when someone wants to become a Yisrael, is learned from Matan Torah, from the giving of the Torah. The Rambam brings Kishem, Shenichnas Aviseinu Lebris, just like our fathers came into the covenant of Israel. They needed Milo, and they needed Tfilo, and at that time they needed Korban. Kach, so is it with all the generations. When someone comes and wants to become a Ger, he has to go through the same process. So you see, this was not a birthright. This was what was known as a gerus, as a conversion. Now the Maral explains further. He says, when you change from one thing to the other, it's like you're going from one side to the other side. You're going from being a Kanani to an Egyptian, to a Chinaman, to an Indian. One side to the other, he says, that you can't. You're born into it, and you're what you're born and finished. And that would be the same thing when it comes to the exclusive clubs of the Kahanim. You're born into it and finished. Or the exclusive clubs of Malchus. You're born into it and finished. If you're in it, you're in. If you're not in it, you're not in. And that's it. Gomarnu, there's nothing further to discuss. But he says, Yisrael is not that. A Yisrael is a Yisrael not because of that. A Yisrael is a Yisrael because not of what he went from one side to the other, but he went up. Because of a level which is above the world. That's a Yisrael. The Kedushas HaTorah. The whole world didn't want the Torah. Kodesh Baruch Hu was machzer es haTorah lechol ha'umos. He came to all of the nations of the world and they said, no, it's not for us. Esav said, how could I take such a Torah? I won't be able to kill and go to war. I can't live without that. And Yishmael said, I won't be able to steal, or I won't be able to commit adultery, or whatever it might be. So they didn't want the Torah. Because the Torah is a maila she'ein mala. Hey, Menno, it's the highest level possible. It comes from 974 generations before the world was created. It encompasses more than the whole world. Klal Yisrael became Yisrael not because they joined another nation, or not because they were born into it, but because they reached up, they elevated themselves to the level of Torah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to them. And then they became Yisrael, Am Skula, Mamleches Kahanim, Goy Kodosh. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose this nation to give the Torah to, because he loved this nation, because they came from such people like Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, who were the only ones that wouldn't betray him. And Lemana Sheyitzav es Bonu Beisei Achrav, Achrav, Avraham, and Yitzchok, and Yaakov taught their sons to go in the way of Hashem. So therefore he said, I'm going to take this nation and give them my Torah. Which he did. Now, an interesting thing happened. Once he gave them the Torah, and they became on that level of Yisrael, Kedushas Yisrael, sanctity of Torah, which is synonymous to the sanctity of Yisrael and Torah and Shekhinah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu all in one, because he says, I go where the Torah goes. Once they received that, that became their essence. Two things happened. They can never leave it, and it became a birthright. They can never leave it, Yisrael afal pi shechota Yisrael, after Matan Torah, no Yisrael can change that Kedushas Yisrael. Even a Jew that will go commit idolatry, or he'll go join other religions or nations, he'll become a Meshubed, is still a Yisrael. He can never lose it. And then it became a birthright. Anyone that's born from a Yisrael now becomes a Yisrael. But its origin was not through birth. Its origin was through the Torah, the acceptance, reaching the level of the Torah. Therefore, go one step further. That level was not Klal Yisrael's monopoly. The level of the Torah, no one has a monopoly on. No one can have a monopoly. Because Torah is greater than the entire world. It encompasses the entire world. Every nation has a portion in Torah. The Torah was made for the entire world and for everyone. Except the nations of the world didn't want it. But it's there waiting. Klal Yisrael stepped forward. So they became part of the Torah. And they can never lose it now. But this does not exclude any other person or persons from also coming forward to go take the Torah. And once they do, it's interesting to note, they also cannot come back. A ger that's misgayer, once he's misgayer, there's no step backwards. And then it becomes a birthright by him also. And the Maral asks, why is it that before you could change, once you go there, you can't change? Because Malim Bekdusha Vein Merim. When you go up in Kedusha, it's become part of you, or you can't go back down. The Rambam writes, and you must digest his words very carefully. You see, generally we think, you take for example a private club. Let's say if you have a club of Englishmen or Frenchmen, they want to make a private club, bowling club, a golf club. So they sit down and they write their constitution and they say, look, this will be just for unsere, just for us Englishmen, or just us Frenchmen. And the English will say, we won't allow any Frenchmen in and any Jews in and so forth and so on. And the same thing with the others will say that. Just be us, the close, elite, exclusive club. Then someone will bring up the question and say, what happens if there's someone who wants to join, but he's not an Englishman? And he's a wonderful fella. And he's a top bowler, a top golfer. He's got a lot of money. So they add a bylaw that you could call a special meeting, and through a majority vote, proper nomination and everything, we can make an exception to bring someone else in. That's the way it usually works. So we say the same thing by Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is a private club for Jews only. What happens if there's someone who's not Jewish and he wants to join? Wonderful person. Well, we have to call the Beis Din together and all the Rabbonim together, have a special meeting. We'll make a special bylaw. Under extraordinary conditions, we will allow someone else in also. The Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, Perek Ches, Halacha Yud. Moshe Rabbeinu lehinchel haTorah vaMitzvos ele liYisrael, shenema merosha kihilish Yaakov, ulechol haRetz liYisgaya mishar haUmes. Shenema kochem kagir. This was not a constitution with a bylaw. It says, Moshe Rabbeinu, he took the Torah from Sinai, and he gave it. Who did he give it to? He says he gave it to Yisrael and to anyone else that wants to become part of the level of Yisrael. This was not a constitution was later on a bylaw. This was the original provision. Moshe Rabbeinu was given the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you give it to whoever wants to take it. I have chosen Yisrael. He says, as it states here, Shenem HaMerosha Kihilish Yaakov, it will be their inheritance forever. But anyone else that wants to come and take it, he also has a portion in it. Moshe Rabbeinu lo hinchel haTorah v'mitzvos ele liYisrael, shenema merosha kihilish Yaakov, ulechol haRetz liYisgaya mishar haUmes. And anyone else from any nation in the world that wants to come. Shenema kechem kager, to you and the convert. Now, then he says, Avo Mishalei Rotsa. But what happens if someone doesn't want Torah? Then leave him alone. En Kefin, I say. Don't force him. As long as he keeps his 7 mitzvahs, it's all right. Doesn't want Torah, he doesn't have to have the Torah. It's too much of a milah, too high for him. But for those who want it, the door is open. This was the original giving of the Torah, the original provision. And it has to be like that. Why? Because there can be no exclusiveness in Torah. Exclusiveness can be only in something which is not all-encompassing. Exclusiveness is a limitation, is a narrowing. The English club can't encompass the whole world, so they're just for the Englishman. The same thing with the French club. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has no limitations. It states HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Melech Malach HaMelochim, the King of all kings, and at the same time it states that he takes care of the Almon and the Yosim and the Ger. He takes care of the widow and the orphan and the Ger. And that's what we see, that B'makom This is his greatness. The same thing with this Torah. Torah is greater than the whole world. How can it be exclusive for one segment? Now, not only that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked into the Torah, and from there he created the entire world. And this is what is said at the end of Parshas Emor. Mishpat echot yeh lochem, one law you shall have for yourselves. Kager ke ezroch yeh, it should be for the ger and the ezroch, the native, and the ger and the convert. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am the Lord your God. Rashi says, Elokeich kulchem, I am all of your God. Kishem shani miyachit shmi aleichem, kach ani miyachtei al agerim. Just like I place my shechin and my name on you, I place it also on the gerim, on the convert. Now, and this actually we find in Klal Yisrael itself. The Rambam brings, this is a Mishnah Novus in the Gemara and Yuma, but the Rambam brings in Perek Gimel from Hilchos Talmud Torah, crowns Israel will give him. Keser Torah, the crown of Kohuna, and the crown of Malchus. He says Keser Kohuna is exclusive. That's only for Aaron and his seed. Malchus is exclusive. That's only for David and his seed. Torah, Hare Munach ve'aymei remuchen l'chol Yisrael. That's for all of Israel. Even within Israel, it can't be exclusive. And then what we explained before, it's even for the nations that want to come and take it. So Torah has no exclusiveness. Kol mi sheyirtzev yavo v'yitol. It's there. Go take. Maybe you'll say because the others that are exclusive are greater. He says, no. Exclusiveness is a weakness, not a greatness. He says the Keser Torah is greater than the other two. And then the Gemara brings an enormous example. For example, if you have a Kohen Gadol, a great high priest that goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur. So he has Kedushas Kohuna, the priesthood. And then you have a Mamzer, someone who was born from adultery or incestuous union. But he's a Talmud Chacham. Who do you give honor to? If it comes to benching and they're both at the table, you're supposed to honor the greatest one there. You have to give it to the Mamzer Talmud Chacham because the Torah is greater. It's not exclusive. It encompasses everyone. This is why it's so important that the Gemara says that you must spread the Torah and teach the Torah. It cannot be limited. And it says, the further you spread it, the greater, call a malamed ben chaveray, or kalvachemer, not only a friend's son, but a son of an amoritz, because you're spreading it further, he'll be zehel yeshiva shel malo. He'll be able to sit in the yeshiva shel malo, because there are no limitations whatsoever. Now, it comes out like this. When someone comes to Klal Yisrael from another nation and he's not a good ger, gerim gerurim, what does it mean he's not a good ger? The Gemara tells us it's a ger that doesn't come to Shem Shemayim. He's not interested to be in the sanctity of Israel. He's not interested to in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. He's not interested in the Ol HaMitzvahs, in all of the mitzvahs. There's other reasons. These are not good gating. The Gemara says these are a danger for Israel. Why? Because this is an alien addition to Israel that can never become part of Israel. And on that it says, Kosha Gating Kisapachas. It's like an abnormal alien growth. They can never become part of Israel. So they become an alien growth. And this is what the Eid of Rab was. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry at Moshe Rabbeinu because he took all kind of gerim with him out of Mitzrayim. But they were not interested in the Torah. They were interested. They saw the success and the wealth of the Jew. And they were the ones that drove Yisrael to the Egel Azov, the golden calf. And it states that's a danger in every generation. But those that come to Yisrael and the Geri Tzedek, the righteous Geri, and they come like Rus or like Yisro or Basparai, and they become because they want part of the Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Ol HaMitzvahs, not only do they become part of Yisrael, but they bring with them even qualities that perhaps Yisrael didn't have to begin with. Because the Torah encompasses the entire world. And it becomes synthesized in Yisrael, where Yisrael becomes greater from them, like we see historically. Now this, or like we see Unkelis, Klal Yisrael was not at their level where they could hold on to the Targum. They lost it. Unkelis brought it back. This, the Maral writes, is the greatest Shvacha Torah. This is the greatest praise of the Torah. From the fact that the Torah is all-encompassing and there is nothing outside of the Torah. He says this is the greatest praise to the Torah. He says this is the why at the end of Masechta Obos, after the first five prokim, chapters of Obos, where the Masechta officially ends, we have Ben Bagbag Eimer and Ben Hehe Eimer. Ben Hehe. Now what were these names? Bagbag and Hehe. So the Rishainim bring, the Rashbam, but it could be a Tesefta also. These were Gerim. Some say they were the Talmidim of Shemaya Vavtalion. They were together with Hillel and Shammai. And Bag is Beis Gimel, Gematri 5. He is 5. 5 is a number for Gerim. Because we see by Avraham, HaKadosh Baruch Hu added a He to his name when he gave him the Bris Milah. In other words, there was a new Kedusha. And the same thing with Sorai Sorah. The Maral explains why is He for the Gerim. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him, like we quoted before, more Shekhino. More life, and life is given through breath. Vayipach ba'apov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into his nostrils, and when you say a hey, hey, you're blowing out breath. HaKadosh Baruch Hu blows into them an additional dimension of life. But then the Maral asks, why is it that they were chosen to conclude the whole Masechta Obos? And this is what he says. Because this is the greatest praise to Torah. The greatest praise to the greatness of Torah that is non-exclusive, that it excludes no one. Everyone has a part in it, if they want it. And everyone has as much as he wants, if they want it, and if they work for it. And that's why they gave that kovod to these two to conclude the Masechta Obos. It's interesting what they say. Because then Bagba comes along and he says, Hafeichba vafeichba de kulabo. Everything is in Torah. There is nothing excluded from Torah. Therefore turn it over and turn it over, because you'll always find more in Torah. And he says, even all of your days, never depart from it. Grow old over it. Because everything is in Torah. This is what he's saying. Then Ben Hehe says, Lefum tsara agra. In accordance to the difficulty and in accordance to the pain you suffer of pursuing Torah, that will be its reward. Klal Yisrael, to come to Torah, had to go through 400 years of the Shibud Mitzrayim before they were able to come to Torah. The Gemara says, anyone who comes to Torah, you're going to enormous heights, Gerim also, have to go through enormous pain and suffering. That's because of its enormous height. It's beyond this world. And this is because it's beyond this world, it encompasses everything. This is the instructions they were giving. From all that we've said, we can have another reason into why it was chosen to read Sefer Rus on Shavuos, the time of Matan Torah. And perhaps also why it was chosen to read the Haftorah of Yecheskel, Ben Buzi, on Shavuos. This is the greatness of Torah, of Yisrael, that was the nation set aside where it becomes theirs and their birthright, but to all who want to take part of it. What we have to realize is the sages tell us, Eitz Chaim hi lamachazikim bo. It's a tree of life to those who take hold of it. What is a tree? A tree is a tree which bears fruit. What would happen if you'd get a book, and the book would be written by the latest experts in science and nutrition, and they will tell you that they've grown a tree, or you can grow it in your backyard, and it bears fruit, and each fruit that you take and you eat will give you another 2 weeks of life. What would the person do? He'd make sure to chop as much fruit as he could. That's what the sages tell us. Eitz Chaim hi lamachazikim bo. Its fruit gives life to those who study it and to those who support it. Life on this world and life in the next world. More than life on this world. Everlasting life. Every word of Torah that is taken, every word that's taken from the Torah, even though we don't realize it, will give us life. Therefore, a person has to use his opportunities in this world to taste from that fruit as much as possible. We should all be zecher to a chag sameach, a chag matan Torah.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085 and via post at PO Box 66226 Broadway 2020 Johannesburg, South Africa.